We're holding on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the second line. We learned yesterday that the Mishnah had said that when a korban becomes possible before the skin has been stripped off, then the skin does not go to the kohenim. Now the Gemara had asked that we learned yesterday, we learned in the previous Mishnah that when the mizbeach is not zoicha in the flesh of the animal, then the kohenim don't get the skin. So in other words, it's not a matter of whether it was skinned or not, it's a matter of whether the flesh is going to be offered on the mizbeach in the case of an ola. It sounds like the two mishnayos are contradicting one another. One is according to the balaz of Reb Shimon, and one is according to Rebbe. So the Gemara had answered that no, we can make both mishnayos work according to Rebbe, or we can make both of them work according to the balaz of Reb Shimon. So now this is where we pick up then. The Gemara says, my Rebbe or my Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon. Where do we see what are Rebbe's and Reb Shimon and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon's respective opinions on this that are relevant that we're mentioning? So as follows, the Tanya, within a Braisa. Rebbe Omer, Hadom Meratz ala Or B'fnei Atzmai, the blood being sprinkled on the Mizbeach will be Meratza, will make the korban acceptable for the skin alone. Meaning, in other words, there can be a case where the meat is not able to be offered on the mizbeach, so it became possible. Nevertheless, the skin is still mutter, and the kohenim can get it. That's when the odor is b'fnei atzmo. That's when the skin is by itself, when it's already been stripped off the animal. But when it's together with the flesh, know that b'psul ben kohenim zrika ben achaz zrika. Then whether it becomes possible before or after the zrika, then it'll be exactly the same as the flesh, and whatever happens to the flesh will happen to the skin, meaning that if the flesh becomes possible and has to be burnt, and we're going to start learning at the bottom of the Amud about various places in the Beis Mikdash where they would burn korbanos that became possible, then the skin will go along with it. But when it already been taken off, then Rebbe says it has a different din. Now we did learn yesterday in the Gemara, we did say that ordinarily the animal is not usually skinned until after the zrika takes place. So in practice, if it becomes tummy before the zrika, chances are the skin is still attached to the flesh. But nevertheless, should it happen that not, then we're saying that it's not going to be possible. So when we talk about the flesh not being available, there can be several possibilities. It can be tameh, it can be taken out of the azara, it can have been lost or burnt. Tosfos actually talks about that, no, where it was lost or burnt, and it's not available at all, even Tosfos discusses that even Rebbe would agree that you can't sprinkle the blood and then have the skin available to the kohenim. What we're talking about, according to Tosfos, is specifically where it was nitma, or where it became tameh, or where it was taken out of the azara. So Rebbe says that the skin sometimes can be fine. Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon Omer, Eina dam meratza ala or b'fnei atzmo. Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon says that no, the blood is not meratza on the skin by itself. If the meat is not available, then we cannot. Then not only we should not sprinkle the blood, but even if we do, it's not going to make the skin of the animal mutter for the kohenim to use. That's even when it's by itself. And when the skin is together with the flesh, then it depends, says Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon. Know that the psul kodim zrika, if the psul happened before the blood was sprinkled, then the skin is just like the flesh, and you can't have anah. Acha zrika, but if it happened after the zrika, and given that hutsa boser, shah achas, the fact is that now there was a moment, and there was at least a moment, when the flesh became mutter to offer on the mizbeach, therefore, yafshi tenu, therefore, by all means, go ahead and strip off the skin, va'odah la'koyanim, and the skin will go to the koyanim. So even though right now they're still attached together, but it's after the zrika, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say it's fine now to skin the animal and give the skin to the koyanim. So those are the two opinions that we were referring to before, where again, we have the Mishnah on Gimel Amud Aleph, that said, if the mizbeach was not zoicha in the flesh, then the kohenim do not get the skin, which makes it sound like, regardless, any time that the meat cannot be offered on the mizbeach, and they don't get the skins, which sounds like Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon. And then on the other hand, we're saying that, and then on the other hand, the second Mishnah, Kuf Yom Alam Beis, had said that if the psul happened before the skin was stripped off, then the skins don't go to the Kohenim, and if it was afterwards, then they do, which sounds like Rebbe. So that was what we had discussed before. Does, are both Mishnayos according to Rebbe, or are both of them according to the Balaz Reb Shimon? Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Bedirav Eliezer Rebbe Yishor Kam Bifagi. Should we say that Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon are having the same machlokas as Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua from a previous generation? And in that case, you'd have to ask, why are they presenting it as an independent machlokas? Why don't they just say that I hold like, that I hold like Rebbe Eliezer and I hold like Rebbe Yeshua respectively? So what do we see? Where is there, what's the relevant machlokas? So like this. The pasuk says, V'osisa olisecha bosav adam. The Tanya, it says, it says in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'osisa olas secha habos of Adam. You should offer your olas, the flesh and the blood. Now, why mention both of those? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, so Rabbi Yeshua learns from that. Im ein dam. You have to have both of them, says Rabbi Yeshua. If you don't have flesh, they, and it's unavailable to be brought as a korban, if you don't have valid zrika, then you don't have flesh. You can't offer the flesh on the mizbeach. And if the flesh is no longer available because it's tamei or lost or whatever, then ein dam, then there's no blood. Now, that means you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood. The Gemara will deal with soon whether Rabbi Yeshua says that you could sprinkle it b'dieved. But in any case, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you need both in order to sprinkle the blood. You need to have valid flesh that is going to be offered on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, dam af b'shein baser. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's enough that the blood is available, even though there's no flesh for it to be matir. And you can sprinkle that blood to chatchila, and the korban will be kosher. Shenema, because the pasuk continues talking about only blood. The dam zvachach yishofech, the blood of your korbanus, should be poured on the mizbeach, and then you eat the meat. So the fact that it mentions first the pouring of the blood, and only then it mentions the eating of the meat. So fine, the eating of the meat tells us that you cannot eat the meat until the blood is sprinkled. But nevertheless, you could, it is enough just to pour the blood, to apply the blood to the mizbeach, and it doesn't matter whether there's any meat to be matzah with it. Well, in kein matam adlam of alsisa or lesecha abos of adam, well then what is the pasuk that mentions both the flesh and the blood from which Rabbi Yeshua is learning that you need to have both of them in order for the korban to be valid. So he says, so Rabbi Yeshua says, then what am I doing with that pasuk? It comes to tell you, like this, ma dam bizrika, just like the blood has to be applied to the mizbeach by throwing it onto the mizbeach, you don't, with most korbanos, as we've learned before, you don't daub it on the mizbeach, you throw it from a distance, from the mizrach towards the mizbeach, and in particular with an ola, that's the way that the blood is applied, af boser bizrika, the same way the flesh has to be thrown onto the mizbeach as well, from which you learn, as we learned previously in the fifth perek of Amasechta, the sixth perek of Amasechta, that there is a space, that there is an empty space between the end of the kedesh and the mizbeach. You don't walk directly from the kedesh onto the mizbeach. There's a space between them. We discussed before. Tosfos had discussed earlier in the Masechta what exactly was underneath that space. There wasn't necessarily the Gemara talks about that it was over the Yisod, but there wasn't actually a physical Yisod over there because this is the south side that we're talking about. So it was over the area where the Yisod would have been. It's over the area where the Sovet is. Tosfos discusses was it even wider than that maybe, but whatever the case, there was some kind of thing like that. Where you throw it. So you actually have, so that's the idea. In other words, the Kohen would, Rashi explains earlier in the Masechta, the Kohen would stand on the edge of the Kedesh and throw it over that space and then throw the pieces onto the Ma'arocha, onto the wood pile, onto the pyre that's on the Mizbeach. So the Rambam seems to say in one place that Rambam says that you have the space, and another place that Rambam says you stand on top of the Mizbeach and throw it onto the Ma'arocha. So the Nosa Kalim of the Rambam deal with how exactly we reconcile those two. What exactly does the Rambam mean? It can mean the top of the Mizbeach really means the top of the Kevesh, or maybe there are two different things, whatever. There's different discussions about that among Achronim. The point being, in other words, that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you're not learning from that, that you have to have both in order to sprint over dam. No, you're learning a different thing, the fact that both of them have to be applied to the Mizbeach by throwing. In fact, Tosfos elsewhere says it's not even that they had to have that space there for that purpose, that if the Kevish went directly to the Mizbeach, it's not like they couldn't throw it, but having a space there helps remind the Kohen that he has to throw it. Okay. Now that we have this machlokas, so we see that Rabbi Yeshua requires, in order to sprinkle the blood, you have to have meat to be matir, whereas Rabbi Eliezer is not requiring that. Then it comes out, lema, now should we say, manda amahusa, that the opinion that Rebbe who holds that it's fine if the that's fine the skin can be hurza, the skin can be made acceptable when it's by itself after it was stripped off the animal, no matter when the psul was, then the fact that the blood was sprinkled is still good enough seems to be for Rebbe Eliezer. That seems to be so. It seems that Rebbe is exactly like Rebbe Eliezer. Umanda amaloi hurza, whereas Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon who says that will not work. That if the psul happened before zrika, then always the skin is going to be osur, so it sounds like he's Rabbi Yeshua. It sounds like he's going like Rabbi Yeshua. If the meat is posel, you can't sprinkle the blood, and therefore, so it won't be matter. It won't be matter the skin. So again, then why are Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi repeating the same machlokas as from a previous generation? So the Gemara says that no, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer kolam alei pligi. Within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, there's no machloikas. It's very clear Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it is fine to do the zrika even if there's no meat. So necessarily, when Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that you can't do that, necessarily he cannot be following Rabbi Eliezer. He necessarily must be disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer. But the machloikas would be ki pligi al libe de Rabbi Yeshua. The machloikas would be within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Manda omer loy hurza. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says that it doesn't work and the skin does not become mutter, ki Rabbi Yeshua is just saying straight out like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you shouldn't sprinkle the blood in that case, and therefore and it's not hurza. It does not make the korban acceptable, and therefore the skin is still osur and it never became mutter for the korban. Umanda Omar Hurza, whereas Rebbe who holds that it is Hurza, that it is acceptable, Omalach, he can answer you that no, it's not exactly the same thing. Ab Kan like Omar Rabbi Shua Hasim Elaba Basar. Rabbi Shua is talking about over there, if the meat is possible, then the Zrikas Adam is no good, that would be specifically when it comes to the meat. The Lekha Psay de la Koyanim, now there's no loss for the Koyanim. So he's saying if there's no flesh of the korban, then so we're saying, in other words, that the owner may have to bring another korban because you can't make this korban kosher, you can't sprinkle the blood according to him. But the koyanim are not losing out from it because anyway the meat is not available for them to eat. Okay, the fat, even when they would have gotten the skin, fine, you can't call it a pseudo, you can't call it a loss where the korban didn't even become acceptable. But that's in that case. Aval ur, but when we have to talk about the skin, the ikka pseid of a koyanim, and there would be a loss for the koyanim, after Rabbi Yeshua murder, then even Rabbi Yeshua might agree that we don't want to unnecessarily deprive the koyanim of that skin. So maybe l'chatchili shouldn't sprinkle the blood, but b'diyeved, we should want to sprinkle it in order to make the skin mutter and make it available for the koyanim. It's not going to work for the owner, and the owner is still going to have to bring another korban. Very well, we may have to do that, but the owner may have to bring another korban, but nevertheless, at least let's try to not deprive the koyanim of the skin where we can help it, says Rebbe. So therefore, Rebbe doesn't have to be disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua and following strictly Rabbi Eliezer. He might say that Rabbi Yeshua is distinguishing between whether the meat became posel versus where the skin might still be able to be salvaged. In that case, midi dehava adiyeven. In which case, we could compare that to the case of vidiyeven, where ditnan, as we learn, ditnan means a mishnah. It's really supposed to be ditanya because a continuation of the same brisa. Nitma boso o nifsol. If the meat became tomei or posel, as we've learned before, tomei means something that is able to make something else tomei. Posel means it's not able to make something else tomei, but it itself is still tumah. It's still tomei. So in the case of Kodshim, that would mean a Revi L'Tumma. You have a Revi is itself is possible. However, it can't make something else Tomei because it's only a Revi and there's no such thing as a Chamishi. Another example would be if a Tvul Yoyim touches it, whereas we've learned before, a Tvul Yoyim will pass all Kodshim if he touches them, but they don't give it, no, there's no degree of Tumma beyond that. The Tvul Yoyim is considered for that purpose to be a Shlishi, and when he touches the Kodshim, they become a Revi, but then it stops it. Anyway, but if that meat became tomei or posel, oshi yotza chutzla kloim, it was taken out of the kloim outside of the azara before the zrika. Rabbi Eliezer omid yizrek. Rabbi Eliezer says even the chatchila you can sprinkle the blood because, like he said before, we don't care whether there's boser or not as long as there's dam. And Rabbi Yeshua omid lo yizrek. Rabbi Yeshua says he should not sprinkle because ein boser ein dam umoide Rabbi Yeshua. However, Rabbi Yeshua will agree shim zorak chutzla that if he did sprinkle it, then b'diavad it's good enough. So now when it comes to Tumas Basar, then when Ovad Basar and Nisraf, when it was lost or burnt, then as Tosfos points out, Rabbi Yeshua will agree that you cannot sprinkle. Rabbi Yeshua will say that in that case you cannot sprinkle even the oven because there's nothing to sprinkle it for. But where it became Tomei, or Yotze, so then you shouldn't sprinkle it, but b'di'evet, we would say that it's fine. Now, when it comes to tuma, then you could say that sitz helps for that. But when it comes to yotze, when it comes to being taken out of the azara, that won't apply. And nevertheless, we still say that it's that Rabbi Yeshua allows it, showing therefore that Rabbi Yeshua holds that b'di'evet it will be fine to sprinkle the blood. And therefore, so in this case, we can consider that the equivalent of the d'eved and say because we want to be able to salvage the skin, and therefore we will allow it. So Rebbe will say that's how Rabbi Yeshua holds, and therefore that we can still make the skin available to the Kohenim after all. So that explains that. That's the machlokas Reb Shimon and Rebbe, and that explains the basis behind it. It's not the same as the previous machlokas Tanoim. There was another factor at play here, which is whether in this case are we allowed to sprinkle the blood the chatchila and treat it as though it was v'dievid in order to save the skin. Rebbe says yes. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon says no. But again, that's only within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, there's no question, there's no way Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon could hold like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds you could sprinkle the blood, even the Hatchila, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that you cannot. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim, Hola. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim said, I never saw a skin of a korban that became possible that was burnt. And Rabbi Akiva derives a din from that about the Bechor. So we'll discuss that point about the Bechor in a little bit. And then the Chacham answer, Lo Ra'inu Ein Raya, the fact that you didn't see it is not a Raya. Maybe such a thing never happened in your times, or if it did happen, you weren't around to see it, and therefore that's not a proof, and the din is that still the skin has to be burnt. So, as we talked about before, does that mean even if the skin is by itself, then yeah. We talked about briefly yesterday also, by the way, when do we say, the poskim bring this point, lo ra'inu ein raya, but when do we say that? When do we say that? If somebody says, I didn't see something, then it's not a raya, and when on the other hand, based on a Gemara in Kiddushin, I think, we see that sometimes we do say, lo ra'inu is a raya, and so the Rishonim and Achronim discuss certain ins and outs of that, as they're talking about, how common is the thing, or are we talking about dafka when it comes to a matter of chumra and kula or something like that? So you have different possibilities. As Ma'arik, for example, brings, as we talked about yesterday, if edim contradict one another, then one set of edim say that they saw somebody in the kaddish, and the other say that not. Then we would say that's not a proof. You didn't see doesn't mean anything. But sometimes, let's say for example, people give an about a certain minhag, and then other people that could be machmer about a certain thing, and other people say we don't see that people were ever machmer on that, then we can say that lo ra'inu is a valid raya. So now getting into, again, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim had said that I never saw skin being burnt. So the Gemara says, Veloy, what do you mean? I can give you examples of skin of korbanos that are burnt. How they porim and nisrofim with serum and nisrofim? What about the porim and nisrofim with serum and nisrofim, which are burnt outside of Yerushalayim? And you burn them with everything, skin and all. The answer is mitzvasim like kamin. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohenim is not talking about where the mitzvah is being done in the appropriate way. Of course, those have to be burnt with their skin. Yeah, that's not what he's talking about. What he means is a case of a psul that I never saw. Okay, the Gemara says vare kodim hefshet kodim zirka. What about where the psul happened before the skin was stripped off and before the zirka? It's just cholos kamin. We're talking about a skin that was already removed from the animal. We're not talking about a skin that's attached. We're talking about one that's dead. We're talking about one that's detached from the animal. And then Rav Chanina Sagana Kohenim says, I never saw a detached skin being burnt. Which, by the way, would also answer the Ponim Eiris points out that the Gemara could use that to also answer the previous answer, the Ponim and Esrafim. And Sirim and Esrafim, they didn't skin them first. They burnt them. They burnt the whole body of the animal together. So fine. So far, we're reformulating what Rav Chanina Sagana Kohenim is saying. He's saying, when a skin has been stripped off and separated from the animal, I've never seen that it was burnt. And therefore, we should be able to deduce from that that, in fact, it does not have to be. Okay, the Gemara says, well, acha hefshet v'kodim zrika l'Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. What about, we just said, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon's opinion that if the psul to the korban happened after its skin and before the zrika. Now, we said before, Rebbe points out that usually the zrika would be done before the hefshet, but in practice, but it doesn't always have to be done that way. It could happen the other way around. And according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, da'ama ena dam meratza ala erba fnei atzmo. And we just said in the previous sugya that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon holds that the blood then is not meratza for the skin by itself. So why does so then that would violate Rav Chanina's rule? The answer is Rav Chanina could Rav Shimon, could Rebbe spherely. The answer is Rav Chanina doesn't have to hold like Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. He can hold like Rebbe, where we said before that Rebbe says that in fact the skin will be mutter by virtue of doing the zrika. There's no contradiction in the fact that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon holds differently. Alright, the Gemara says, V'boisema, or another answer I can give you. I feel a toitmuk, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. You could even say that Rav Chanina agrees with Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. And we did have before, after all, the Gemara had mentioned at the bottom of Kuf Yom Lamed Aleph, at the bottom of Kuf Yom Lamed Beis, that Abaya and Rava disagreed whether the Mishnah on Kuf Yom Lamed Beis follows Rebbe or Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara wants to bring an answer that will make it fit, even if the Mishnah, even if the Tanakh, even if the Stam Mishnah is according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. There's other points as well. Another point as well, it comes out that Rav Chanina holds like Rebbe, and the other Chacham would hold like Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, but that then we have a problem, because the Halacha is like Rebbe against an individual Tana, and then on the other hand, here the Halacha is like the Chachamim against Rav Chanina, so therefore the Gemara needs another answer. Therefore, Lam Natsayach Ledavid points out that therefore we need another answer that allows us to say that Rav Chanina goes according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, and that the Chachamim who disagree with him in the Mishnah go according to Rebbe, and therefore the Halacha can be like Rebbe, and the Halacha can be like the Chachamim, no problem. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yiboisema, another answer you can give us for the Totma, for Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. You could even shtelein what Rav Chanina is saying, like Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Because, as we said before, Moide Rebbe, Shein Hefshet, Kodim Zirka. We said before that Rebbe agrees that the skinning of the animal doesn't usually happen before the zrika, and therefore it's not very likely to happen therefore it's not very likely that there should ever be a separated skin, which we said before, that's what Rav Chanina is talking about, that we should have to talk about whether the blood can be sprinkled to be meratzer or not. It's an uncommon enough thing that even we can definitely assume Rav Chanina did not necessarily see such a thing happen, and therefore, when he says that he never saw it happen, may mean because in practice, such a thing almost never happens. So it could well be that it never actually happened in Rav Chanina's time. So again, the Chachamim say, well, that itself is a reason we can't necessarily just pass in halacha because you didn't see it, but Rav Chanina considers it a valid proof. The Gemara says, how about you can have a case where the korban, it turned out to have a trefa in its intestines? And there could be other examples as well. There could be, for example, the blood became pusul. The Keren Oda points out, but we only realized it after zrika and after zrika and after hefshet. So you can have various cases where you only discovered a psul after the zrika, but it was before the skin was stripped off. So then in that case, then, uh, then, both Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon hold that the skin would have to be burnt. According to Rebbe, could still attach to the animal, and according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, because the psul was in fact before the zrika. So then Rebbe Chanina should say that there is a case where the skin is burnt. The answer is kasava nimtis trefer b'mnei ayin, because Rebbe Chanina holds that if in fact it did turn out to be psul in the intestines or any of these other cases. Or any of these other cases where there was no, where the psul was not known at the time of the zrika, then he holds meratza, the blood will in fact make the skin of the korban mutter, the flesh not. The flesh will have to be burnt, because the fact is the blood was psul, but Rabbi Chanina holds that it's good enough in order to say, in order to allow the skin to be used. So according to Rebbe, we'd be talking about it was before, even though you didn't realize it before Hefshet, nevertheless, you can still strip the skin off and use it. And according to the Belazar, it's before the Zrika, and still you only realize after the Zrika. So you'll burn the meat, but you can still use the skin. So Rabbi Chanina holds that way, and therefore he's saying that I never saw a skin there. Therefore he says I never saw a skin being burnt. An interesting practical halacha comes out from that is that the Rosh points out that sometimes you have when something becomes osur or when something becomes mutter, or for example, whether you talk about something becoming osur, like one food getting mixed up with another, or whether you're talking about a heter, like bitul b'shishim or whatever, then it's not so important when it actually happened, it's more important when you found out about it. And therefore there can be cases over there where we say that this thing happened, but it's not so important that it happened. It's more important when you found out about it, and to some extent that will determine the halacha. It's an interesting kind of thing, you know, Lahavdil in physics, you have the famous idea of Schrodinger, they call it Schrodinger's cat. Like he pointed out there's a certain area of physics which is uncertain, and like conceivably if you had a cat in a box, and you wouldn't know if it would be like sort of, so to speak, both alive and dead until you open up the box, and then you find it's one or the other. So the Lahavdil, you have some kind of something like that in halacha as well, where something is, so to speak, both osur and mutter until you actually see what happened, and then that determines it. So the case of nimtzis shefer b'mnei me'ayim will not contradict the rule that we said, because Rabbi Chanina in fact holds that in that case the skin will in fact be mutter and does not have to be burnt. And in fact, the Gemara says Dekanami. In fact, we can prove that Rav Chanina holds that when it comes to that kind of case. Dekatani, because the Mishnah had continued. Omer Rav Akiva, midvarav lomanu, based on what Rav Chanina says, we can deduce shamafshetes a bechor, that if a person strips off the skin of a bechor, v'nims a trefa, and the bechor turns out to be a trefa, so now you can't use the meat. The meat will be osur because it's a trefa, and as we learned yesterday, you can't go and give the meat to goyim or feed it to dogs or whatever, because you can't be toidir. Tosfos actually asks on that and then discusses some points about that, but the point is the meat may be osur, but nevertheless the koyim are able to have hanah from the skin. We talked about yesterday a vote from the Tiferes Yisrael that your oyster akoyin and ba'oda means even if the bechor is not kodshim, even if it was bal mum, and you're giving it to the koyin to shecht and eat anywhere he wants, then the same din would apply, says Rabbi Akiva. Shmamina, so that proves that we're talking about where, now this is a case where the psul existed all along, because we're talking about nimsa trefa. You shechted it and stripped off the skin and then found it was a trefa, meaning it really was a trefa all along. You only just discovered that now. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is saying, based on what Rabbi Chanina is saying, the skin should be mutter. Shmamina, that proves that Rav Chanina himself holds the same way, that if there was, even though there was a psul before, but you only found out about it after the hefshet, after the skin was stripped off, then the skin will remain mutter. And therefore, Rav Chanina can correctly say that he never saw a skin being burnt. Okay, the question is, well, then what is Rav Akiva's chidush? In that case, if Rav Chanina holds that way, then what is Rav Akiva adding by mentioning the case of the Bechor? The answer is Hochi Kamashmalon. Rabbi Akiva is telling us the following chiddush. Afilu begvulin, that this din applies even outside the Beis Mikdash. We're talking about Bechor Baal Mum. So even a Bechor Baal Mum, where you obviously don't bring it as a korban, you shecht it anywhere you want, and the only thing you can do with it is eat it. Had it died without a proper shechita, then In fact, the whole animal, skin and all, would have to be burnt. Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, if you find that it was a treifa, and it's true you can't eat it because it's a treifa, and as Tosfos discusses over here, maybe you can't even, let's say, give the meat to goyim or something. So maybe because of a knas, whatever. That's not so negay over here. But the point is that the point is that Rabbi Akiva still says that even though the animal cannot in fact be eaten and has to be buried, nevertheless you can still use the skin. So Rabbi Akiva is telling us that practical point. I feel a big bull, and you should know this din that Rabbi Chanina is saying is not only in the Bais Mikdash; it applies even outside the Bais Mikdash to an animal that was discovered to be treifa. So the Gemara continues. So the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Akiva that if you shecht a bechor and find it to be a baal mum, then you do have to bury the body of the animal, but you don't have to bury the skin. You're allowed to use the skin. However, continues Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Akiva does not allow it unless only if a mumche checked it. A mumche is somebody who's an expert in mumim, and in particular, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin and in Bechoros, who's gotten official authorization from the Nasi or from the Sanhedrin to do that, to be matir mumim. So then if you have that, then you can shecht it, and then we're saying if it's found to be treifa, then Rabbi Akiva is saying you can use the skin. But if a mumcha hadn't checked it, and you, the owner of the animal, the koyan, assumed that it was a mum and shechted it, then no, loy, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you can't use the skin because you had no business shechting it in that case. You should have waited for the mumin. You should have waited for the mumcha. Nowadays, by the way, we don't have that kind of mumcha, so the din is, as far as a baal mum, that only if it's something that's blatantly a mum, only if it's something that's very obvious to everybody that it's a mum, then you can shecht the bechor. Otherwise, a lot of the more subtle mumim that we'll learn about eventually in Masechta Bechoros, Yitaka cannot shecht the bechor because of those nowadays, which is why you have the whole concept.
Can you use the skin to write a Sefer Torah in that case, or to write tefillin?
In a case where the skin can be used, then you can use it for whatever you want, sure. You can use it for whatever you want. I mentioned yesterday an interesting idea that Rabbi Levick, that Rebbe's father, says in connection with the skins of the Kodshim, that he explains that the Koyanim, we've been talking all this time about the Koyanim getting the skins of the Korbanos, he says the skins of the Kodshim, they would use to make Tefillin Shor Rosh, and the skins of the Kodshim Kalim, they would use to make Tefillin Shor Yad. But yeah, in any case, where the skin is mutter to use, then you can use it for whatever you want, Tefillin or Sifrei Torah or whatever included, yeah. I was going to say that, again, nowadays we don't have mumchim like that, so it's only if it's a really blatant mum. But then Rabbi Akiva is saying the skin is mutter, and Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is saying that an example of that would be you shechted it based on a mumcha, and so you knew it had a mum, and then you shechted it, and it turns out to be treifa, and you can't eat it after all. But if the earth and mumcha had not been matur, then no, you wouldn't be allowed to do that because you had no business shechting it in the first place, and then therefore the whole thing, skin and all, is also. However, the Gemara says, V'hilchsa k'dibrei chachamim. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, who says that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Rather, the halacha is like the chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Chanina, and say, Lo ro'inu ein raya, just because you never saw the skin being burned, doesn't mean that it would be. And in fact, therefore, baser b'kvura va'or b'sreifa. Therefore, the meat will have to be burnt. The meat will have to be buried of the bechor that was found to be a treifa, and the skin will have to be burnt. Now, the reason why the meat has to be buried, Rashi says, because you can't give it to dogs to eat. As far as burning it, you don't have to burn it because it's not kodshim, because we're talking about baal mum over here. Why should the skin have to be burnt, though? Rashi says, I don't know why the skin should have to be burnt. In fact, Rashi takes out these four words, Bosa v'kvurav, or Urbis Srefa, and he calls it Girsa de Talmidi Tabitsorihi. He says this is a Girsa, this is a version of the Gemara that comes from the Talmidim of the Tabitsa. Tabitsa has a couple of meanings. It can mean the Beis Medrash, but it would mean like the junior Talmidim of the Beis Medrash who don't know better. Sometimes we also find Tabitsa means like the garden. So it means like the Talmidim who are not really in the Beis Medrash, who are like outside in the garden, and they misunderstood and thought that this belongs, but really Rashi says this does not belong. He thinks that the Chachamim are coming to disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that the skin does have to be burnt. and therefore they put in these words in the Gemara, but no, it's not so. The Chachamim are talking about in the Beis Hamikdash you have to burn it, but when it comes to Kodshim, when it comes to a Bechor Baal Mum, then the whole thing is buried, skin and all. Nothing needs to be burnt. Rashi takes out those four words and says that they're an incorrect girsa. On the other hand, Maseres Hashas refers here to some other places, including a Tosfos Uli and a Masechta, including some other things from Rishonim, that there may be a certain relevance to these words. Maybe it's not just Talmidei Tabitzoi. Maybe there is in fact a certain validity to it. Tosfos discusses over there this point that when the animal is in fact a trefa, then we're saying you can't feed it to the dogs and everything as Rashi says. But even Rabbi Akiva is saying that you can have hanah from the skin, but not from the flesh. Would we necessarily, in the case where we do have to, Tosfos actually does bring, though, that Bosse with Kvodova or Bistrefa, Tosfos does bring those words from our Gemara over here, implying that they were Gerdes, then, that they do have those words in the Gemara after all, and in fact they explain the Gemara earlier in the Masechta on Ein Aleph and Beis on the basis of that. So according to Rashi, these words don't belong, according to Tosfos and some other Rishonim, apparently they do. Continuing on this topic of korbanos that are burnt, we mentioned before the parim and istrafim and seirim and istrafim. So let's talk about the details. Parim and istrafim and seirim and istrafim, bizman shehin istrafim kimitzvasan, when they are being burnt the proper way they're supposed to, namely the blood was applied where it was supposed to, the emurim were offered as they were supposed to, and now the rest of the korban has to be carried outside Yerushalayim and burnt. So when that's done, bizman shen nisrofen kumitz vasan, nisrofen bebeis hadeshen. First of all, the place where they're burnt is the beis hadeshen, is the area where they would deposit, where they would deposit the ashes from the mizbeach. And the pasuk tells us that v'hoitzias hadeshen amechutz machna, that there, you would take the ashes outside of the machna. And there was a place outside of Yerushalayim where they would deposit them. They actually found, in more recent times, in the late 1800s, and they were starting to expand the city of Yerushalayim and build a number of the new neighborhoods outside it, they found an area approximately in the area of nowadays the neighborhood of Sanhedria, in north of Yerushalayim, they found an area over there with mounds of dirt. They did chemical tests on them and found that it seems to be residue of ashes. And they concluded based on chemical tests on those ashes that those seem to in fact be the ashes from the Mizbeach, and that would have been the Beis Hadeshen. So nowadays it's in the city, nowadays it's in the neighbor, it's in one of the northern neighborhoods of Yerushalayim, but back then it would have been outside the city. So then they're burnt over there, umetamin begodim, and also the people who are involved in burning them, they and their clothes become tame. In the case of the korbanos of Yom Kippur, the Torah spells out that when the ones who burn them become tame, and Uliu and the Masechta, we learn that that applies to all the parim and seirim and israfim. So they all become themselves and their clothes become tame. In other words, in effect, basically they become an avatruma and their clothes become a rishon l'truma. Actually the Gemara has been discussed whether it was east of Yerushalayim or north. So that place they found in Sanhedria would follow the opinion that it was in the north, according to the opinion that there was one to the east of Yerushalayim. I don't know if they found that one. In any case, that's when it's done properly. If the burning is not done as it was supposed to, namely the korban became posel, and now they have to burn it not because this type of korban requires burning, but just because any korban that becomes posel requires burning. So then nisrofin, then they do also get burnt. However, they get burnt in the beis habira, and we'll see in the Gemara what beis habira means. The ein matamin regardim, and they do not make the clothes of those who burn them tamei. Because when you burn posel kodshim, that doesn't make you or your clothes tummy. So the enemy time of God, and they don't make the person's clothes tummy. Continue the Mishnah. Hoyu soivlin oisin b'motis. Now, what happens when it comes to these parim and istrafim and seirim and istrafim? They would be carrying them out on poles. When it comes to the ones of the it actually points out later that the Gemara is going to derive later on that they would carry them on poles. In any case, so that's how they would do. In Yuma, when it talks about the Purim, when it talks about the power of the Seder Shel Yom Kippurim, then it actually says what they would do, klon b'miklores, the Kohen Gadol, after he sprinkles the blood in all the places where it's supposed to go. And after he offers the Emunim, then the Mishnah describes over there, like, he would like make big cuts in it and make like it's still partially attached together, and then they would, and then they'd put him on poles and carry him out. And with the other Korbanos, they would do something similar. So they're carrying them b'moitus. They're carrying them on poles. Yotzu harishonim chutz v'chol masazara. Now the din is that they actually become tamei not just when they're burning it, even when they're on their way to burn it, then they already become tamei. So as the Gemara is going to discuss, that once it goes out of the Azara, it becomes tamei. There are different opinions about it. In Yuma, by the way, there is a different opinion that in fact they become tamei only once the animals are set on fire and are mostly on fire. But that's Reb Shimon says that, I think. But we're going to have that in the mission over here. We're going to have that in the mission over here. Yeah. So it's the same machlokas in Yuma. Okay. So Yotzu Harishonim Chutz V'Chol Masazara. So now you have people who are carrying from the front and people who are carrying from behind. So when the first ones have gone outside the wall of the Azara, Vachronim Lo Yotzu. Meanwhile, the ones who are behind have not gone out yet. Harishonim Matamim Godim Vachronim and Matamim Godim Ashiyetsu. The ones who went first are already Tomei, they and their clothes. But the later ones, the ones in the back, are not going to become Tomei until they actually go out, as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yotzu Elu Ve'Elu. Once both groups go out, Matamim Godim, then. Once both groups go out, then they both are Matamid Godim. Now that seems to be posher. So the Zevach Toida, the Chofetz Chaim explains even if they were to return into the Azara, they're already Tomei, which in that case they have no business re-entering the Azara anyway because they're Tomei. But the point is, if they did, then nevertheless that doesn't take away their Tomei. The Chazon Ish explains a different answer that it can mean the ones behind become Tomei even though they're not the ones who took it out, because already the first ones are already the ones carrying it out and the second ones are just helping from behind. Nevertheless, there's still Matamim of Godim because the fact is they are helping with it. Okay, this is according to the Tana Kama, that as soon as they go out of the Azara, they become Tomei. So on the other hand, Reb Shimon Omer, in the Tamim, Ad Sheyutzas Sa'ur B'Rubon. On the other hand, Reb Shimon says nobody becomes Tomei until the fire catches on to most of the power of most of the soil. He holds that the ones who burn it who are become Tomei, not the ones who are carrying it, as we'll see, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. Nitzach HaBosser, once the flesh has been melted, so once you have it's mostly burnt and the flesh is at this point that now all the moisture in it has gone away, and now basically it's like melting away. At that point, anybody who's involved in the burning does not become Tomei, because at that point it's considered burnt enough. At that point, it's not anybody who's Misfeyeh, anybody who helps out at that point is not going to become Tomei, because at that point the burning has already been accomplished. Next. So the Gemara starts off. My Bira. When we say that they would burn the ones that became posel, when we said they would burn them in the Bira, what does Bira mean? Omer Rabba Bachana, Omer Bechanan, Mokam Yesh Baharabayas U Bira Shmoy. Means there was an area in the Harabayas whose name was Bira. And that would be where they'd burn it. It is brought, there is actually something Josephus mentions in his histories, a fortress near the Beis Mikdash, which is also called the Antonia Fortress, north of the Harabayas nowadays. There's a Muslim boys' school there, but in any case, it seems there used to be a fortress over there. But he also says that in earlier times it was called Baris, which is very likely the same word as Bira over here. So in that case, then that would be the area where they would burn these Psula Amokdashin. So that's one opinion. Resh Lakish from a kolabais kulei kori bira. Resh Lakish says the entire Beis Hamikdash is called bira. Shenema, as we find David using the expression, the el abira over livnes abira, is how it actually says in the pasuk. Asher achinosi, that I'm charging Shloimeh with the job of building the bira which I prepared. So he's saying that Hashem should help Shloimeh and inspire him to build the bira that I prepared, the place, and I prepared all the prerequisites for it. So we see that the bira means the Beis Hamikdash as a whole. So it would mean that they'd be burned someplace in the Harabais. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Shloisha Beis HaDeshon in Hain. You should know, when we talk about the Beis HaDeshon, the place where the ashes would go, there's actually three different such places, and there were different places that they would have for different types of korbanos that need to be burnt. The Beis HaDeshon Gadol Hoyav Azara. There was a large Beis HaDeshon in the Azara itself. Shasham Servim Psule Kodshe Kodshim Ve'emure Kodshim Kalim. Now there, what you would have is when it comes to Kodshe Kodshim, if they became posel, they became tome, the blood was spilled, etc. So then they would burn there the meat of the kodshe kodshim have to remain in the azara. The meat of them is supposed to be eaten in the azara. So therefore, so they would burn them over there. And also kodshim kalim, if the imurim became the imurim of kodshim kalim themselves are considered kodshe kodshim because they're burnt on the mizbeach. And of course, that has to be in the azara. So such things, anything that was supposed to remain in the Azara, would be burnt in the Azara when it became posel. So therefore, that a place designated in the Azara to burn such places, to burn such things. And also, the uporim and israfim, seir and israfim, shirah ben psul kodim zrika. Also, the uporim and israfim, seir and israfim, if something happened to make them posel before the blood was sprinkled. Until the blood is sprinkled, they're not supposed to be taken out of the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, at this point, if they become Tomei, at that point, then they're burned also in that space in the Azara. So that's one place. The second place, or Beis HaDeshen Achor Hoya Baharabais, Rav Nachman continues, there was a second Beis HaDeshen elsewhere in the Harabais, outside the Azara, but still in the Beis HaMikdash complex, Shasham Sofen, Purim and Asrafim, Nisir and Asrafim, Shira Ben Psul Achor Zrika. Now this is reserved for the Purim and Nisrafim, the Seirim and Nisrafim, where the Psul happened after the Zrika. So now at this point, after the Zrika, they're already be able to be taken out of the Azara, but nevertheless, it's not Kimitz Vosan. Something went wrong to make the Korban Psul after that, and therefore they don't take them all the way to the Beis HaDeshen outside Yerushalayim to burn them. Instead, they burn them in a space in the Harabais. There's a specific place called Bira, according to Rav Yechanan, or anywhere in the Harabais, according to Rish Lakish. And then there's a third one, ukmitzvasan. The third one is when they're burnt according to their mitzvah, when everything worked out, and now the korban is kosher, and now we're finished, and now we're finished with it. So then chutz l'shalosh machnas, and that takes place outside the three machnas. Then you have that's the usual place where they're supposed to be burnt. So that's one version. That's Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Bavor. That's one version of the three areas. On the other hand, the Gemara says Tonel Levi. On the other hand, Levi Torah Braisa that says differently. Shloisha Beis HaDeshon in Hain. He starts by saying also there are three Beis HaDeshon. However, it goes as follows: Beis HaDeshon Gadol Hoya Azara. First of all, there was a large one in the Azara. Shasham Sofen Psule Kodshe Kodshim or Psule Shasham Sofen Psule Kodshe Kodshim VeEmuri Kodshim Kalim. Fine, that he agrees is used to burn the Kodshe Kodshim that became posel and the Emurim of the Kodshim Kalim. So fine, that one he agrees with, that one the Braisa agrees with Rav Nachman. Now that would be though, the difference is, however, here is where this Braisa differs, that also the Purim and Nisrafim, Asirim and Nisrafim, we weren't there, She'ira ben Psul, when they became possible, Bein Kodim Zrika, Bein Acha Zrika. Whether the Psul happened before or after the Zrika. Now, Rav Nachman had been saying that if the Psul happened before Zrika, then they burn them in that one, and if it becomes Psul after the Zrika, then they burn them in the one in the Harabayas. Now this Braisa says no. When it comes to the Purim and Nisrafim, the Seirim and Nisrafim, either way, they're going to have to be burnt in this area in the Azara itself. Even though it was after Zrika, and on the face of it, it should have been able to be taken out of the Azara, nevertheless, this one still gets burnt in the Azara. What about the second one? Beis HaDeshon Acher Hoya Baharabais. Then there was a different Beis HaDeshon elsewhere in the Harabais. Shasham Sofim, Purim Nisrafim, Nisrafim Nisrafim, Shirah Ben Psul Bitzi Osan. This Braisa says that when would you burn the Purim Nisrafim or the Shirah Ben Nisrafim over there? Only when they became posel after they were already taken out of the Azara. Now that they were taken out, you don't bring them back into the Azara. You shouldn't bring anything Tomei into the Azara. However, you can't bring them to the Beis HaDeshon to burn them because it's not Be'ach Sheiran, it's not done the proper way. So therefore, so you burn them over there. And then Kol Kohen Tzvasan, when everything is done the way the mitzvah was supposed to be, Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, then they're burnt outside the three Machnas. So in other words, basically the Machloikas is, what happens with the Parim and Nisrafim, Masirim and Nisrafim, when the Psul happened after the Zrika? According to Reb Nachman, you take them out and burn them in the Harabayas. According to the Braisa, you leave them in the Harabayas, you leave them in the Azara, and you leave them in the Azara, and you burn them in the Azara. And only they would burn them in the according to him, they would according to the Braisa, they would burn them in the Harabais only when they became apostle after they were taken out of the Azara altogether. So now since we're talking about the Purim and Nisrafim, Masirim and Nisrafim, so now the Gemara is going to start a discussion about various possible psulim that could happen with them and what happens in such cases. So the first case. Boy Rabbi Yumia asks the question. Now we know on the side over here it says maybe it's supposed to be Rabbi Lazar. All the rest of the questions that the Gemara is going to ask are from Rabbi Lazar, so maybe this one is also. In any case, the first question is Lina Ma'u Shatov Apoim and Nisrafim Masirim and Nisrafim. Would Lina possel them? Now we know by regular korbanos, if they're left overnight, then they become possel. Would the same thing apply to these Purim and Nisrafim, or Sirim and Nisrafim, if they left them overnight and did not burn them until the next day? So the Ma'ot HaToil, would it be effective, the Purim and Nisrafim, or Sirim and Nisrafim, would it be effective that now it's possel, and then therefore they have to be burned in the Azara or the Harabayas according to the respective opinions? And again, that the people who burn them are not going to be Metamin Godim. The question is, maybe Lina is effective only when it comes to the meat, the Bar Achila, which is capable of being eaten. These korbanos, by definition, are not meant to be eaten. Loi, so maybe the same din wouldn't apply. And therefore, maybe Lina does not, therefore leaving them over does not possel them. Oh, Dumaloshno, maybe there's no difference. The fact is, a korban is a korban, and it has to be done on the day that it was done. And therefore, these parts of the korbanos, these leftover, the carcasses of the korbanos, are now going to be possel if they were left overnight. And then they're going to be burned in the Azara, or in the Harabayas, as the case may be, and then they won't be in the time of Gadim. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Hom Nosi Boi Lev Abaya. You should know, Abaya had this question. And I answered him the question of whether Lina is affected by them. I answered him, says Rava, on the basis of the following. We learned earlier in Masechta when we were learning all about Pigul. So we talked about, does Pigul apply to the Purim and Nisrafim with Seirim and Nisrafim? Does it apply to, which are also known as Chatoris HaPnimius, because the blood, as we've learned before, is brought into the Heichel and sprinkled there. Would a thought of Pigul apply to them? So we had a machlokas, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Reb Shimon holds that Pigul applies to them. Reb Shimon holds that not. The Shavin, but Reb Shimon and the Chachamim do agree. Shim chishavah chilas parim nisrafim, that if he were to think about eating the parim nisrafim or about the burning of them, that it should take place tomorrow. He thinks he's going to eat from them tomorrow, or he's going to burn them tomorrow. Shaloy osaklum, that what he did doesn't count for anything, and it's not considered Pigul. Because Pigul would only be either, as we learned before, either achilas odim or achilas mizbeach, either that it's going to be eaten by people or it's going to be eaten by the mizbeach, and here it's neither because it's meant to be burnt. So says Rava, my love, midi machshava loy pasla. Since we see that machshava does not passel them, the thought to burn them tomorrow does not passel them. Lina nami loy pasla, and we should assume that neither does actually leaving them over doesn't passel them either. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. The dumma machshava would like pasla of a lina pasla. Maybe in fact the machshava will not passel, but lina itself would. Maybe you're right. If they have a thought of burning them tomorrow, then it's not effective. But to actually burn them tomorrow, maybe would be effective, and maybe in fact it would make the korban possible. So Tosfos has a bit of discussion about this. There's a different there are cases where the Gemara does accept such a thing, that because that machshava and actually doing it or not doing it are intertwined. So why over here should it be different? Because here we're not dealing with the mizbeach. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various other angles on that. Fine, so no proof really for so Rava is saying I brought a proof, but the truth is that the Gemara is saying it's not necessarily a proof. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a different proof. A Mishnah tells us, Purim Nisrafim, Asirim Nisrafim, Moilin Behein Mesech Me'ilah, which deals all about the dinim of Me'ilah, all about the dinim of when does the concept of Me'ilah, of using something that belonged to Hektish, and in particular, if he does it b'shoyu, then he has to bring an asham meilas. So it talks about in detail in the sefer meila all the dinim of when that applies. So the Mishnah says, "Hornim and Asrafim and Asirim and Asrafim, Moilin behen miyad shehukdishu, miyad Moilin behen mishehukdishu. The meila applies to them as soon as you will makdish them." So as soon as you were makdish them, because they're kodshei kodshim, and the general rule is me'ilah applies to kodshei kodshim as soon as they become hektish. Now, nishchatu, once they become shechted, they now have a higher level of kedusha, hukshurili possible, tivul yoyim, or mechose kippurim. Now they become eligible that if a tivul yoyim or mechose kippurim touches them, they will become possible, which wouldn't have been the case before they were shechted in general. Live animals can't become tamei anyway. So now the tivul yoyim or mechose kippurim could make them possible when he touches them. Ubulina, and also that lina will apply to them if now they're left over for the next day, then they're possible. Now, we say lina, my lav linas vasser. Aren't we talking about leaving over the meat? So if it's left over, and there's the answer. So we see that the meat cannot be left over, and if it does, it becomes fossil. And what says, look, linas emurim? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Maybe it means leaving over the emurim. Everybody agrees that the emurim become fossil if they leave them overnight, unless they're on top of the mizbeach, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But here we're talking about if they were left off the mizbeach, of course, they become fossil overnight. Okay, but the Gemara says, Vahomedi Katani Sefer. Yeah, but the Sefer of that Mishnah continues in Me'ilah. Kulan, Moilin, Behen, the Vesadeshin, Adshi, Yurtach, Abasir. All of them, the Purim and Nisrafim, the Sirim and Nisrafim, Me'ilah continues to apply even in the Vesadeshin until the meat, until the flesh of them is dissolved. Now there we're talking about the meat. Did the sefer basar, reisha nami basar. Since the sefer is talking about the meat, isn't the reisha also talking about the meat? And therefore that means that lina does apply to the meat. What kind of a proof is that? Sefer Basar, Reisha Emurin. The Sefer is talking about the flesh. The Reisha is talking about the Emurin. There's no proof that they both have to be talking about the same thing. Okay. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Tony Levi. Because Levi taught a Braisa. The Braisa that we quoted before. We said there was a case where they became possible after they were taken out of the Azara, and that was when Levi's Braisa said that in that case we burn them elsewhere on the Harabais, not we don't bring them back into the Azara, we don't take them to the Beis Hadeshen either, rather we burn them someplace in the Harabais. My love, Lina. Now what kind of psul happened after they were taken out? The pastor said we left overnight. Then was his life, psul toma. No, it means they became possible because they became tome or psul yitzia. Or they became possible that they were taken out of the Azara before the blood was sprinkled. And we've learned before that, kodshim become possible if they're taken out of the Azara. And in any case, they're not supposed to be taken out before the blood is sprinkled. And here they were taken out before the blood was sprinkled. The Gemara actually is going to ask soon the question whether in fact they become possible in that case, given that they are meant to be taken out of the Azara, unlike regular kodshim. But the Gemara will get to that soon. But right now the question is following the way of looking at it that they would in fact become possible. So in that case, then we could be talking about those kind of psulim, and not necessarily are we talking about a psul, not necessarily are we talking about a psul of lina. Maybe in fact lina does not apply to them, which brings us back to the beginning of the question. So still no proof one way or the other, because the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about a psul of, the Mishnah is not necessarily, the Braisa is not necessarily talking about a psul of lina. This also teaches out when we talk about that it became possible before Zrika would mean that, and we said it was brunt in the Azara, would be, for example, that it became possible with something else, not Yotze. Because again, the Gemara is going to ask soon that maybe Yotze is not possible it at all. But even if we say that, yeah, then it could be we're talking about that, but we're not talking about Lina necessarily. Okay. So at this point, the Gemara leaves the question open. So we don't know whether Lina would possible them or not. Next, the Gemara says, Boi Rabbi Elazar. Next, Rabbi Elazar has another question about this matter of Yotze. Yitzia Maushatoil Bipsat Bipparim and Israfim Asiyam and Israfim. Would going out of the Azara, would it make them possible? Would it be effective and possible then when it comes to the flesh of the Parim and Israfim Asiyam and Israfim if they were taken out before the Zrika? Obviously, after the Zrika, they're supposed to be taken out. So the question would be if they were taken out before the Zrika. The question is, does it work? Is that possible then or not? So it wasn't my Kumibari way. Well, we have to ask, what exactly is Rabbi Lazar's question? What is his premise to think that it should not be possible? In fact, we learned earlier in Armasechta, in the ninth perek, perek kolatodir, we discussed what about Kodshim Kalim. Kodshim Kalim are able to be taken out of the Azara eventually because they can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And we said that there was an opinion, in fact, that because they're going to be taken out, then therefore, even now, they were taken out before the Zrikas Adam, they don't become possible. So what is his question? Rabbi Yochanan had said that it's kosher. Rabbi Yom Yibaba, so Rabbi Yom Yibaba says, fine, Rabbi Loz's question is not according to Rabbi Yochanan. I'll leave a demand to Omar if you would follow the other opinion, Rish Lakish over there, that says that Dain Le'idi is Mani Lotzis. The fact is, these Kodshim Kalim, it's not yet the time that they were supposed to go out. Yeah, they ended up going out, but they went out. They are supposed to eventually go out, but it's premature at this point. It's before the Zrikas Adam. So now the question is, would Rish Lakish say the same thing when it comes to the Purim and Israfim or Siyam and Israfim? Mia min and hani mili boser, de in sofa lotus choiva. Now it is true that the flesh of Kodshim Kalim is taken out of the Azara, but it's not required to. You could eat Shlomim in the Azara if you wanted to, you just don't have to. So therefore you could say that before, that it's premature to take it out before the Zrika Saddam, and therefore does it passes it. Avol Hani, but when it comes to the Purim, Asiyam, and Israfim, the Sofim Lotis Choyva, there was a mitzvah to take him out. Maybe even Rish Lakish would agree, Loi, that they shouldn't become possible just because you took him out a little early. Oh, Joma Hakanami, Loi, Gears Minor Lotis. Or maybe also, you would say here also, the time hasn't come yet for it to go out, and therefore it will be possible. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to prove again from Levi's Braisa that we brought before, the Tony Levi. We said that if it became possible when it was taken out of the Azara, don't we mean exactly that? It became possible by being taken out prematurely. Well, that would answer the question that yes, you take it out before the Zrika, it becomes possible. So it mustn't like psul tumah or psul lina. No, it can mean a psul of tumah. Or if we answer the previous question that lina would apply to them and would make them possible. If we say that lina would in fact make them possible, and in fact, by the way, the Rambam does end up passing the Chumrah that they do become possible with lina. So if we could say that the psul we're talking about, it was taken out of the Azara, is one of those, either that it became tome, or if we say that lina makes it possible, then also lina. But not necessarily. We're talking about a psul of yitzia. Maybe the fact that it was taken out prematurely does not necessarily passle it. So the Gemara is going to continue with more questions on the subject about the case of the Purim and Israfim, the Siyam and Israfim, which will continue into the next Amud. So we'll take those up tomorrow morning, Master Shem.